I mean, what the heck? Let's just ask our Twitter poll question of the day to our next guests from ESPN, the NBA insider we love to have on in times like this. We threw up the bat signal. We pointed it to the Pacific Northwest. And as always, Kevin Pelton responded. Kevin, who do you think will be there the longest out of those four guys, in your opinion?
I guess I got to agree with the voters and go with KD as the most likely one here. But that is, there's a reason it's a compelling question, because you can see why all of them might not be long for it.
Yeah, I'm actually rooting for this thing to fail, Kevin. You know, and I grew up, I spent a lot of time growing up in Brooklyn. So, but I am going to root for this thing to fail, because I hate how this was all put together. Now, what are you hearing, and what's your belief on Kyrie? Is he, there's a story in Nesson that he didn't okay Steve Nash and he didn't okay James Harden, and he might be willing to sit out the entire season and not play. Was this done to just appease Durant so at least he has Harden? Are they that concerned about Kyrie Irving right now?
You know, I'm not sure anyone in the league really knows what to think at this point. I mean, there was some reporting that not before Saturday, you know, was the word earlier in the week, would Kyrie be back? And, of course, that's subject to the possibility of an extended quarantine, depending on, you know, what the NBA finds about the video or photos of him at a birthday party unmasked, and, you know, that situation with the COVID protocols. So, you know, it's really tough to say, and I feel like, if you're the Nets, probably part of the reason you make a move like this is if you're not sure what Kyrie Irving's availability is going to be, and that's also a matter of health. He's dealt with injuries in the past, you know, above and beyond the fact that he's away from the team right now, then, you know, James Harden gives them another star player to go with Durant and get back to the construction of this team that you were thinking beforehand in terms of two elite offensive players who complement each other pretty well.
How about the haul that the Rockets got in this deal? Is it comparable to what the Celtics got? When you look at this, I know you did your grades and everything, but when you look at this, did the Rockets make a great deal?
I think they came out very well in this deal, better than I was expecting, given, you know, Harden's age and kind of the difficulty of fitting him into a lot of teams. So the fact that they at least apparently had two bidders between Brooklyn and Philadelphia got them a pretty good package here. And, it's more draft picks and swaps than Brooklyn sent to Boston in that infamous Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce trade. That makes sense because of the fact that, you know, Harden is a younger player. He's closer. He's more in his prime than those two guys were. And I do think they have a better chance of winning the championship than that Nets team had. So it's not, you know, necessarily fated to go as bad. But when you talk about ending up out of this with four unprotected first-round picks and four swaps, I mean, that's right there with, you know, what Oklahoma City got in terms of draft compensation in the Paul George trade. And that was a case that, you know, I kind of thought was more of a one-of-a-kind thing because of the situation where the Clippers were not only getting Paul George, but viewing that as, you know, cinching signing Kawhi Leonard as a free agent.
Kevin Pelton from ESPN NBA Insider. He's our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We love talking NBA with Kevin. Charles Barkley, when he was on the Dan Patrick Show back in November, so this was obviously a couple months ago before any of this came to fruition, said there would be a 0% chance of it working with Kyrie, Harden, and KD on one team. I highly doubt he's using the same computer predictive model that you are, Kevin. Do you have it at zero, or do you have it at slightly higher than zero?
I have it at higher than zero. I mean, I think you have to sort of approach it from two standpoints. I mean, from, you know, I go back to when James Harden was paired with Chris Paul in Houston. People were asking, well, can it work? And the answer, of course, in the same way that it did work on the court in Houston is, yeah, absolutely. These are three guys who are terrific offensive players who are all very good shooters. So it's not a situation where only one of them can have the ball at a time and the other one is just completely worthless to you offensively. There's not those kind of diminishing returns to have all three of those guys on the same team. I mean, the question, and it's kind of the age-old question with Kyrie and KD, is everyone going to be happy playing those roles? Because, you know, they've been unhappy with the role that they've played alongside stars in other locations. And, you know, each situation is unique. There's a lot of complexity. How much of it with the Warriors was just the fact that Durant didn't feel like he was getting the credit that he deserved for those championships because of the fact that he joined an existing championship core. You know, that's going to be a different situation here. But, you know, the Chris Paul Harden thing, it worked until it didn't because of the fact that they were no longer happy playing with each other.
Yeah. I want to switch gears because this impacts us here locally with what's going on with the Phoenix Suns right now. By now, I'm sure you know the league has already postponed the Suns 3 of their games this week, including most recently the Saturday game against the Indiana Pacers. That announcement, Gambo broke that news about an hour and a half ago or so. As far as these games now that are starting to pile up, you've covered this league a long time. Are they going to be able to fit all of these missed games into the second half of the schedule when they release that schedule? Or can you anticipate or foresee maybe a situation where they just don't play the full number of games? At least not every team plays the full number of games because they just don't have time to make up all these games they're missing.
So I would say my speculation at this point is that they probably would be able to make it up. I mean, you're talking about, what, 4 games now for the Suns, or 3 or 4?
Three for the Suns.
Celtics have 3-2. There's a bunch of teams that have 2. Some have 3.
You can make up, because also they built in that brief period that was, you know, sort of the pseudo all-star break without perhaps an all-star game. And now it seems, you know, overwhelmingly clear that they're going to need to use that to make up games. So I think it's possible that you can get everybody scheduled for 72, even with this current level of postponement. The question is just, and we've seen this in college basketball, if you have to, you know, quarantine a second time because of a similar situation like this, you know, then it becomes that much more difficult. Or if you have, you know, you've missed this period of time here in January, but then in February a game of yours gets postponed because another team is unable to play, that's where it sort of compounds on itself and becomes a lot more difficult. And I certainly think that the NBA is going to have to be open to the idea of playing fewer than 72 games.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, the way we've been talking about today. Like, how, you know, the players are going to play 72 games in a short amount of time, and now you're going to take away their 1 week break, and now they don't get any break, and you're going to jam these games. The Suns are going to make up 3 games. I think it's inevitable that nobody plays the full 72 games, that they all don't play the full 72 games, for the simple fact that we're not done. Kevin, right. I mean, who would absolutely believe, like, this is it, there's never going to be another postponement, they're done. Saturday's game is the last game that they're going to have postponed. No, there's going to be more postponements, and that's why I just think, I feel for the schedule makers. I don't know how they're going to fit these games in, if they even try to, or if I'm the players, I'm like, I don't want to play 72 games in 85 days. So we're going to need a break. We're going to need to cut it from 72 down to maybe 65.
And we're so much more educated about the effects that playing a lot of games in a short period of time takes on players than, you know, after the 98 lockout when we saw the back-to-back-to-backs on a regular basis, and that's longer regular season. So I just don't know that I think that's a realistic option at this point. I mean, the other interesting aspect of the Suns situation that I'm sure has come up is, you know, it's different from, you know, Dallas, where it's been reported that they have 4 positive tests on their team, although they were able to return last night, or Boston, where, you know, we know of multiple reported positive tests. There hasn't been those kind of reports about Phoenix, and that starts to raise the question of, you know, how much more cautious is the NBA becoming with their contact tracing, and does that make this more likely going forward rather than even less likely, despite the tightening of the protocols?
Yeah, that is absolutely something we've been talking about today, because so far we do not know of any positives. It seems to just be.
I just got an update now, just literally as of right now. The Suns have no positive tests. As of 4:42 today, the Suns have no positive tests. So no positive tests, but here we are. The Suns are going to miss 3 basketball games. Go figure.
Yeah, I mean, it's great news, obviously, that no one has tested positive, but it does speak to a greater level of conservatism in the NBA's approach to this, I think, after, you know, the situations that we saw elsewhere.
No question. Kevin, always good to have you on. Thanks for stopping by on short notice. We appreciate it. Stay well.
All right. Thanks for having me.